What's new in your world?
What's new in my world is that I'm looking across the window at Lori. She's back.
She's back.
And what else is new today, Lori, is I'm going to do the 3 o'clock dirt alert because yesterday it escaped my mind that I was supposed to do that.
I was telling her. She goes, how did it all go? And I'm like, well...
I just remember Holly was like, yeah, Elizabeth Reese can do the dirt alerts. So I was like, okay, that's right. I just got to do traffic and weather. I hit the button at the end of weather and I was like, oh, that's right.
That's me. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you got?
Well, as you might have heard, the big news of the day is that golf star Tiger Woods is in the hospital right now going through some leg surgeries because he was in a one car crash today in Los Angeles County where he had to be removed.
What?
With the jaws of life. You didn't hear that?
This is nutty. And we just both watched that Tiger Woods documentary.
Yes. So I think that is going to lead to a lot of speculation. But let's just hope for the best and hope that he'll be okay. Let's move on to another sticky story. French actor Gerard Depardieu.
Did he pee on another plane?
Well, he has even worse. Oh. He's been charged with rape and sexual assault.
Oh, no.
In connection with a 2018 case. It seemed like the charges were dropped in 2019, but now new criminal charges have been brought in France because of new evidence.
Oh, that's... So. I feel like he's really kind of...
Gross.
Yeah, yes, I was going to say disgusting.
The victim is an actress in her 20s. She accuses Depardieu of raping and assaulting her at his Paris home in August 2018. And the annual Clive Davis pre-Grammy Gala, which has been the night before party every year since 1976, has been postponed because Mr. Davis has been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, a serious but temporary condition that causes sudden weakness in facial muscles. But they say with the treatment of antibiotics and steroids, he's expected to make a full recovery in 6 to 8 weeks, and they will reschedule that party for May.
Trying to get sympathy because they bigfooted the SAG Awards.
There you go, Bigfoot.
Okay, that is all the news. I did it, Julia. I hope I
will
get a pat on the back. I'll do it again in an hour, and then I'm going to hit this button, and we're going to start the show.
That is brand new information. My Talk Dirt Alerts at the top of every hour. And at 820, 1220, and 520 on My Talk 107.1.
How do you say love in Hawaiian, Lori?
How do you say love in Hawaiian? Yeah. I don't know. I'm really proficient with saying aloha, aloha, mahalo, aloha.
Well, aloha to you. And of course, by that, I mean hello, not goodbye, because you are back.
Well, aloha is hello and goodbye, Julia knows. It's like ciao.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, kids. Honey.
Oh, I'm so discombobulated. I know I always say that.
If you didn't, we wouldn't know that you were back.
Well, I'm discombobulated because, like, just last night, you know, you're there. You leave at night, so you fly all night. So it is kind of discombobulating because...
It's a five-hour flight from Hawaii to, like,
to the West Coast. Yeah. Oh, but so, I mean, can I say that my eyelid sit-ups and push-ups are strong? Really, really strong. And I left on a gossip high with the news that Meghan and Harry were having a baby.
Yes.
I thought, I don't need to look at anything. And I didn't until Casey's like, you're going to want to know about Kim and Kanye. So yeah. I was just in this gossip little high of a bubble because I was so happy for Harry and Meghan.
Oh,
and,
I love it.
You know, so good. And, okay, should we start with the shark story or the protocol to get into Hawaii?
Do the protocol, because a lot of people were wondering about that. I got a lot of questions from people. How do you go to Hawaii right now? Is it so hard during COVID? Tell me about it.
Well, okay, so they have suffered. The tourism, I mean, I know all hotels, hospitality industry, travel agents,
restaurants,
airlines, all of that.
Yes.
Hawaii is... Well, how much of that economy is tourism?
98% tourism.
And so, you know, Casey and I always stay at the last 5 years, we stayed at the Westin Hapuna. So we know, you know, the lifeguards and some of the pool guys and the kinda bartenders.
Like, she knows the operators at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, right, right.
I did not know that.
But they've
but
stayed.
She's a Parisian, you know.
They've, yeah, you know, right. They stay because
it's a great gig.
And, you know, there's not that many places, you know, where you're going to work.
Right.
And so it was, so it's Hawaii, if you're traveling there, you go to the Hawaii Safe Travels, it's called, and you fill out a profile. Each person in your party,
okay.
And if only if you have kids can you sign them up under you, under 18. Otherwise, every adult over 18 has their own profile.
Okay.
Then Walgreens and CVS here are trusted partners, and you do an antigen NAAT test.
So what's the difference between that one?
It's more accurate.
Okay, is it a nasal or?
It's a nasal swab, and oh. I just pulled up to the drive-in, and they pass you the stuff, and you swab your own nose, and you put it in this thing, and you get the results.
But
I got
you
mine.
You didn't shove it all the way up there, like
no,
the first
that's
one.
That was that's like a thing that they learned at the beginning.
Okay,
and you have to get the results in 72 hours, and I was all nervous about
she
that.
Was. She had to put email on her phone, Rocco.
Yeah, I
Whoa.
Did. Oh yeah,
big,
Rocco.
It was a big move here.
And, but anyway, you know, so it was slick. It was easy. We had the results in 48 hours, you know, everything. We made the right call, canceling our flight through Seattle because they got socked with snow and all these flights were delayed.
Right.
And then anyone, if you go outside the 72 hours, you possibly could have to quarantine when you get to Hawaii.
Right. Okay.
So we land on Saturday, a week ago Saturday, and like... there were like five flights at the same time, which never happens at the Kona airport. It's a tiny airport. You still get off the jetways and walk.
You fly direct to Kona.
Okay. Off the West Coast. Okay. And so it was a big, you know, I was like, this is going to take a while. It took us 2 hours to clear COVID protocol customs. But I think that was a fluke because it was a Saturday. There were a couple of
travel's
West Coast
starting up again a little bit more.
Yes, yeah. It's President's Weekend,
sure.
You know, blah, blah, blah. So you get off. There's a really cute National Guard guy taking your temperature. Then you have to show print your test results. That's what I did. And that is a good thing. That did make us go faster.
Okay.
And then you want to keep that because you also have to show it at your hotel.
Okay.
And that's not really clear when you do all this stuff.
Okay.
But you'll have it on your phone. But then when you go through that, then every single person takes another rapid test.
Serious?
And they have your hotel information, your cell phone. So if you were to test positive, then you would have to stay in your room in your hotel, and they're arresting people, and you know,
right?
But everyone had a COVID-free test
to get in,
so that's a very accurate test. So the swabs, I didn't hear of anyone at our hotel that got anything, and so then you know, we were still you know at a restaurant by like 7:30, you know, just like going, oh God, we made it,
and you're here at a restaurant.
Yeah, we're at a restaurant
outdoors, just kind of enjoying life.
Ugh. Just felt so good.
How great was the air? Because it was so cold here when you left, Lori. It was squeaky cold.
It was squeaky
cold. Last week was brutal.
I mean, the big excitement that happened, because other than, you know, my books and, you know, we are super lazy. Super lazy.
Though.
Casey boogie boards and works out. And I do, like I said, eyelid and eye push-ups. But the big exciting thing that happened was a tiger shark sighting on Hapuna Beach. So I'm out in the morning watching Casey catch waves, and he just come in like 5 minutes before. He said I was getting cold. He'd gotten out there at like 5:30. They were pretty big waves.
In the morning, okay.
And it was like 7. And I wanted to get down to the beach to get my
chair.
Mm-hmm. Because they have less chairs and stuff. They're spaced apart.
Oh, interesting. Hawaii
is practicing. I mean, even
safe
if you're
COVID.
Walking around the open air resort, they want you to have your mask on.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, this guy comes running by and he's got his hand on his elbow and he's going like this, Rocco, up and down. He's going like this.
Like looking like
to the lifeguard.
Guy.
But he's not yelling shark, but he's going like this.
Okay.
And the lifeguard dropped what he was doing, grabbed his little red thing, and I kind of turned out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, is that a swimmer? Is that a black fin?
Right.
It's so fast. And he's just, there's a few people out there swimming. Come in.
Oh, come in. Did he blow his whistle or anything?
No, no. You don't want to panic people because okay. I guess when sharks feel your panic, it's like electrical, like in the water, okay. and it will draw them to you. So everybody, and he's going like this okay. and get out of the water. Everybody gets out of the water. And there's not that many people. Sure. It's really the swimmers and the boogie boarders.
Right. And this is at 7 in the morning.
Okay. And he immediately goes, gets off. Everybody on the whole stretch of beach, and it's about a mile, has to get out of the water. And they put up a purple flag with the shark on it. And it's flying all over. Okay. They have this whole protocol. So the next thing, there's two wave runners out in the water okay. going back and forth across.
Trying to figure it out.
Well, scare the shark. Okay. Then an hour after that, the helicopter comes with two guys with binoculars flying pretty close to the water.
Looking to see, because the water's so clear, you could see the shark swimming.
Are there any more sharks? Right. And they go up, they cover probably wow. a couple miles.
Okay.
And they do that like four times. They do four swoops and then they give the all clear.
Okay.
And at noon, they took the shark flags down and it was like Amity and Jaws and people just
go out to the water.
There were, 50 people in the water. Right? And I'm just sitting in my chair and I'm going,
I'm never, ever, ever going in.
And the only thing that Casey made to his boogie board routine after talking with Jason, the lifeguard guy, he said, well, it's a waning moon right now, so sharks feed in full moon because it's so bright. They can see, and it's good feeding at night. But when it's a crescent moon or waning moon, whatever word right. he used, he said, then it's more dusk and dawn, and the tiger sharks are all around, but there's so much for them to eat. So Casey didn't boogie board until the sun
yeah,
was out. It was not dark sky, dark water, which right. is what he'd been doing. And I told him he looks like a seal in his wet,
right.
shirt. Mm. A cute seal.
Because Shannon, so what's so funny is my friend in Seattle, she was in the same place you were a couple weeks before you went. And I'm part of this group text about tiger sharks. And I had just gotten the text from you last Monday.
Yeah.
And so, and then I'm like, and I thought she was just texting it directly to me and like, oh my gosh, there was another tiger shark spotting. And I thought, oh, you knew about Casey and Lori.
No,
you
know? No.
And then I'm part of this whole group text. And then I'm like, and then I figure out I'm recruited with
Hawaii is loaded with tiger sharks, but right. they are really have a lot to eat.
Right.
So,
but that's good to know about the time.
Are there often tiger shark human attacks?
Still New Smyrna Beach holds the record in the U.S., but a couple years ago in Maui, there's a couple every year, and
New Smyrna Beach is where my dad lived.
Yeah, in Florida.
For 25 years. So that's our place.
And that's
so
what the t-shirts say, Shark Bite Capital of the World. Anyway, we saw a lot of whales. Casey saw a baby whale. And a couple nights ago, we were on our balcony kind of watching the sunset before we were going out to dinner. And all of a sudden, I hear the cannon. And the cannon sound when you're is the whale coming up and just slapping their tail down. So even though it's a mile out, it sounds like a cannon. And they'll, when they do that, they'll do it 4, 5, 6 times.
And was it just sunny and beautiful every day?
85, 65 at night, every day. Lovely. Just the clouds change.
How lovely. We got to come back to our stories we can't get enough of. And as everyone always wants to hear about, the books.
What
was on the reading list?
Oh, man, we're living the vida loca. So lazy, though, you guys. I was feeling so exhausted from everything. I mean, I just think people are feeling exhausted. I mean, Rocco, you got to agree. You're taking some time off.
Oh, yes.
And yep.
I mean, this has just been the longest, hardest year of
everyone's
lives, unless you're like the lady I read about this morning, the 113-year-old who lives in Mendocino, who's already lived through a pandemic and still going. Jeez. You know?
Yeah.
Just, but anyway,
just need to get away and get
it just,
back
I
to
just,
normal things.
I needed to shut out all the noise. Mm-hmm. We watch so much stuff. We read, and I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because we have like a really fun job, but I just, it felt noisy in my head and I needed a break from it all.
Right.
Just to recharge.
You're lucky you weren't here yesterday. That was really
annoying. Yeah, I know. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, we did a chicken sandwich taste test, Lori. You would have died. We talked about a lot of food.
You would have died. I'm still full.
Oh, no, but it was really fun.
Yeah, good.
It was really fun. We do different things. We would have gone. We laughed.
Listen, whatever you got to do.
But I'm with you. I was so sick of reading and stuff. I'm like, we got to do something different because my brain can't absorb anything else.
It kind of felt that way. Yeah. So one of the ways that I recharge my, first of all, you know, I love going. I love traveling with Casey.
Isn't that the best?
You two are my two favorite people to travel with. Mm. And we met some really, like, we met this really fun couple, Amanda and Josh. They both work at Nike in Portland. Okay. And they were traveling with their four-month-old baby. And I saved them the shady chair spot.
Okay.
Because they had a baby.
Sure.
And she saved me with a book because on
Did you run out of books?
I ran out of books.
How is that possible? I sent you with so many.
Julia?
How did that happen?
I spent a lot of time in my chair under my umbrella.
And Rocco, she can read a book a day.
I guess.
No, you have no idea. Well, she lived in Japan for 7 years, and Lori can absorb. So, like, when you're gone, I can't keep up with how much stuff we need to content on this show, and I have to wing it in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, someone please call.
Right.
Because you can absorb so much more than I can possibly ever think of fitting in.
And you're not a Kindle person, so you bring in real books.
Well, books. And Lori's going to give us the review, and a lot of these books that you read, we're going to be interviewing the authors.
Yes.
So it'll be a double whammy.
And I also brought Sue from Chapter 2 Books. She gave me, like, some of T.M. Logan. Remember, we had him on for his great book, Vacation.
You got some more, but you need to give me those.
I left them with the housekeeping and with with Carlos, the lifeguard who loves to read mysteries.
Okay, Sue at Chapter 2 Books. There's two of us.
Yeah, but
we loved him.
Oh, so good. So
I gave that book to someone to read.
I read two of his books, and I recommend both of them, 29 Seconds and Lies by T.M. Logan. If you like mysteries,
yeah,
he's really good. So that was great. I will say of the,
how many did you read, Lori?
12 books.
Okay.
That I read.
Did you just hear that? 12?
12.
How, are you a fast reader?
I'm the kind of guy who brings like a handful of books on vacation and reads zero of them because I'm always out doing things.
Yeah, Rocco,
he doesn't move.
And when I go to Kona, when I stay at the Westin in Puna, it depends on the vacation.
Sure. Paris,
I would only bring like maybe three books. Right. And that would be if I was there for 9 days or something, mostly for the plane. But
depends on the location.
Yeah, for the February winter vacation, I just needed
the regular February weather.
Yeah.
It's so different for the April one.
I know.
Okay.
So anyway, but I will say there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those books I give just a strong highlight to. And it's only because the other 6 books were mysteries and they kind of like those stories. They're just exciting in the moment and then you're done with them. But
it doesn't stay with you.
It doesn't stay with you. You would remember if you picked up the book again, but I finally read The Cold Millions by Jess Walter, and he's the guy who wrote Beautiful Ruins, which is one of our favorite books.
They slapped back at me when I asked him if we could have him on our show.
Yeah.
They totally, this was me, starting out to be Donnie, and that was a big slap back.
Yeah, and that
book. No, he's not available.
He's not available, and you know what, after reading the book, that's just fine, and it wasn't because the book, I think we would have been so in awe with him, we would have just wanted to talk about Beautiful Ruins, because you wouldn't have finished Cold Millions, but it was an interesting book. It was really about, it's in the 30s, the Depression is right around the corner, workers are just getting organized as far as loggers and mining and all this. So it's kind of a historical novel about these two brothers and the early couple people who were real people. And so it was really...
I would have hated it.
You would have hated
basically
it.
Basically, looking at how you're describing it, she's looking cross-eyed at me. I
really loved it. And yeah. I was really moved at like thinking about the beginnings of the labor movement. Union, yeah. And it was beautifully told. So that was the
when
cold
we come
millions.
Back, you're going to give
I'll
us
give
the
a, I'll
one.
Give
all
a
right.
couple more. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. What day is it today? Tuesday, February 23rd. Hey, just getting back to the Cold Millions, the Jess Walter, where like Beautiful Ruin, his other book, which was Italy, Amalfi Coast, Hollywood. This book, The Cold Millions, about these Dolan brothers and the mining business and labor. This is very much a guy's story. And I
Do you think Casey would have liked it?
Yes, like Casey would love this. Okay. Stephanie's Kurt would love this. My uncle read it. My auntie didn't want to read it. She was sexist in a reverse way about the fact.
I think that's hysterical. Okay, that's hysterical. Yeah. We have these funny sexist people in our lives that won't read by women authors, won't be by male authors.
Well,
funny.
She loved The Beautiful Room, but she's like, I'm not interested in them. But I found it to be fascinating, and he's a glorious writer. So right. I like that book.
Okay.
My very, very, very two favorite books.
Okay.
And we're having both authors on the show, and you were like, you have to read these. It wasn't a have to. It was a pure pleasure. I'll always remember where I was when I read these two books. They touched me so much.
Oh, I'm and so glad.
Better Luck Next Time, which is by Julia Claiborne Johnson. And I guess she wrote this book called Be Frank With Me, which I don't remember reading
Neither
at
do
all.
I.
But it's 1938, and women are seeking a quick, no-questions split from their husbands, and they head to the divorce capital of the world, Reno. Now, that was a fact back in the day.
Right.
You have to wait 6 weeks, and it was a lot of wealthy women, and it's the Flying Leap Dube Ranch. And this is a fictional novel.
Yes.
But there are some historical references that are in the book that are correct. And anyway, it starts out with this 74-year-old guy, Ward, being like interviewed about this year he spent at the Flying Leap Dude Ranch for women who are looking for a divorce. And this is 1938. So you have nothing or you have money.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it, because we're still coming out of the Depression.
Yes.
And okay, got it.
So he's 24. He's described in the book, you know, with a cleft chin, kind of looking like I learned about, like, drugstore cowboy, where that phrase comes from.
Oh.
And it was in Hollywood when they, what year, Rocco, do you think they made so many cowboy Western movies?
Oh,
30s, like, 40s.
Right. You know, through the 50s, probably.
Okay, so these good looking guys, though, in the 30s would hang around the Hollywood film lots hoping to be cast as extras. And a lot of them were real nice looking guys. And then they'd go and hang out at the drugstores that are right around there. And that's where the word drugstore cowboy.
I never knew that.
Yeah, okay. I know. Lots of really great things in it. Great characters in it. But Wade is telling the story in flashbacks to his 24-year-old self. And he's 74. And it's just, it is charming. It is, it's a novel about divorce, marriage, and everything that comes with in between money, class, ambition, looks.
It starts out because I've started
it's poignant it's
and for this
funny.
Thursday, and she's going to be on. And the publisher told us you want to read this book.
She's so right. I could see the movie in my mind. It is so rich.
And it's called Better Luck Next Time.
And the reason why it's called Better Luck Next Time
from the divorce,
the lawyer, the judge that a lot of the ladies would have, because it was just like literally you had to show up on your sixth week of residency, and then you could, the judge would grant you a divorce, and he'd say, better luck next time. So, and then, okay, then this other book, and I don't know when we're having this lady on. Her name is Constance Sayers, and the book is Ladies of the Secret Circus. This is
the 23rd of March.
Okay, this is the book that's the Addie LaRue. If you love The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, this is your next book that you're going to fall in love with. And it's Well, first of all, we get to be in Paris.
Love.
And it's 1925, and it is told in flashbacks between 2005 and going back to 1925, and about this magical circus, and did it exist, and who is Cecil Cabot, this her grandmother who was in this circus, which is a historical fact that, you know, circuses like in Paris.
Don't you remember in the 20s and 30s? Night circus we read?
Yes.
Not maybe 5 years ago or something. Is it like that?
Well, Paris back in these times.
Magical.
Magical. But going to the circus was like going to the opera.
Yes.
Anyway, it is fabulous. And it is like
the Ladies of the Secret Circus.
The Ladies of the Secret Circus. And so if you liked the book, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, you're going to gobble this up like a sundae. It's so, so good.
I'm looking at your hair, Lori. You look like a teenager.
Oh, God. I flew all night and I didn't sleep. I did your trick. I put the blanket over my head. Okay. I put the blanket over my head and I stretch it down to the bottom and I make a cocoon.
Okay.
And I hate the face, the eye mask. Yep. I feel constricted.
No, I love having a blanket all over myself.
I had it and
I do that.
Casey was just laughing, but it is the best. It is a surefire way to get yourself to fall asleep on a plane.
It is.
For a trick.
Under the blanket, though?
Yes.
You put the blanket over your head and you stretch it down to your toes. You literally look like no one can see you.
No one can see you.
You look like you're in a cocoon.
And you can put your hands where you want. And, you know, Lori crosses her chest. I put mine right in my upper belt area.
Nobody can see you drool.
It's a cocoon. You're making your own nest.
You really are. You really
have a good blanket. And remember, they don't give pillows. They don't give blankets. So you got to bring your
mom. And you brought the sand cloud.
I bring the sand cloud. That is the best thing.
That's a sand cloud?
It's a special blanket that my friend turned me on to, and I gave it to Lori for Christmas, 5 years ago or something?
It's for amazing. Beach vacations.
But okay, so you bring 12 books and your own blanket? I mean, do you have room for anything else?
Oh, Rocco, the sand cloud goes in my carry-on because it's on my plane. It can be to lay down. It can be, it shakes out.
It's a Turkish cotton, and it dries fast, and it's pretty, pretty colors.
It's big. It's oversized, so you can.
They're lovely.
I took a couple naps at the beach with the sand cloud. I cocooned, and the ocean just blowing around me. It was windy. I think I'd just gotten a blowout from Constantine at the Moana hair salon.
God, I love it, Lori.
Yeah, and learned all about, you know, the people. Everything was shut down like for 4 months there. Like nothing.
I bet they loved having tourists.
I think people are happy because people are, you know, back at work and, you know, just like anywhere, but pretty, people are nervous if people come to Hawaii. But I will just say that with all the measures that they have in place, and now when you even, if you travel to Mexico, and I, like my dad is there right now, you have to have a COVID-free test when you come back to the States.
But you didn't have that coming back from Hawaii.
You had to have it to get into Hawaii because remember, it's part of the United States.
Is it still?
Yeah. Taken, of course, by force from Queen Lili Lukulani. She didn't have a choice. The U.S. government once again decided to take land, boys and girls. Wow. So, anyway, I read another book called Molokai, which I'm getting a lot. I'm not quite finished with it, but it's...
Lori!
Do you know that book?
Yeah, it's about the lepers.
Yes.
Lori, I read that years ago.
Yeah, it was the only book for sale at the Kona bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have a book, and I was like, panicked.
I have a list of so many other books that you were supposed to bring. You apparently decided not to bring them.
Yeah, I did read The Frozen Crown. You said that's an author that's coming.
Yes, I did, by Greta Kelly. That's in March. Did you like that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Rocco, did you ever read Game of Thrones, or do you kind of like a fantasy?
Not really, no.
We don't read too much of the fantasy books, I would say.
No.
You know, but this is magic and politics, and it's a princess who has a powerful and dangerous secret. She's a witch. And just like when I watched Game of Thrones, on a book like this, you just have to go with the flow.
Do you think this is one I should listen to? Versus Reed?
Yeah, I think you'd like it. But you got to go with the flow because you can't really keep track of all these kingdoms and all these people and who wants to marry who. There's a main woman character who's fabulous and some other people and some love interests and guards. And it seems like it might be Game of Thrones era, you know, definitely AD or something, a century or something. But it was... leaves us on a cliffhanger. It's a gal in Wisconsin who wrote it.
Really?
This book will be optioned and made into something. It was really something. And it was just kind of different because we don't usually read fantasy books.
100%.
So I, because when I first started, I was like, oh dear, there's a map with kingdoms.
Oh, it's you like know? The beginning, the opening credits of Game of Thrones,
right? You know, and Rocco, that was such an epiphany for me to enjoy Game of Thrones when I realized I don't need to make sense of all this stuff.
No kidding.
I can just enjoy the, you know, boobs and dragons and the lusting and the fighting and the treachery and the torture. You know, I don't really need to know how it all comes together till really the end.
100%.
Yeah. So I just felt like I was going on a fantastical ride that day at the beach. And it's called The Frozen Crown. And it leaves, you're in such a cliffhanger. And the second book comes out in September.
Oh my gosh.
And I think the author is from
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Oh, how fun. All
right. So that was really good.
Fun. All right. When we come back,
let's move on to some gossip, Bachelor.
And Barack and Bachelor and Emily in Paris. We've got stuff to talk about. We'll be right back. Okay, thanks for hanging out with us. It is Tuesday, some date in February, close to the end of it. And we're going to have a full snow moon this Friday night, which I know everyone's going to look forward to.
Does that mean the sharks will be feeding in Hawaii? It's going to be a bigger moon.
They're going to be
feeding
at night.
In White Bear Lake.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So, Lori's back. Obviously, you hear that voice. Rocco's with us. So last night, it's not over yet. We are still in the middle of The Bachelor. Matt is still The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
He had the hometown visits last night.
Yes, and I was able to watch some little snippets of that.
Okay, so there's four women left. Michelle from Minnesota, the teacher. We have Rachel.
The racist.
Oh, okay.
Just call her that.
All right.
Well, did you see her? Him meeting the family?
We can keep track of them. Yeah. And then we have Serena.
Is she the one who walked him to the car and said, I can't be with you?
Basically. Yeah. Spoiler alert. And then Bree was the one who has a single mom, raised her, and they had that in common.
Here's the spoiler alert. I can just...
Well, you just gave it.
No, but I know I'll cut right to the chase. Based on the preview that we saw for the Women Tells All next week, because last night was hometown.
Yeah.
And the week that I was gone, apparently... Kit, the fashion designer's daughter, walked out.
She was.
They were not. Meant.
No, I know, but she was. I kind of liked her.
Yeah, she was
cute. Classy.
Well, she's trying to get. You know, a gig.
Uh huh.
But the spoiler alert: looking at Matt in the preview for next week, that beard is 100% says he's single.
Yeah, it's David Letterman.
It's
Santa Claus.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
He's so handsome.
He's so handsome, Rocco, and he. Lori, that's a good one. There.
So I just thought it doesn't matter. We're not going to. Matt's season has been clouded by so much drama.
It really outside of the
pretend romance. Right. And there really haven't been any good little love stories or anything because the drama surrounding the show has overtaken it.
It really did. And initially, it was fun with the Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
Some silliness, but it doesn't feel fun. Here's a date, Rocco, though. So Rachel, who Lori calls the racist.
She's still on the show?
He picks her at the end, I'm pretty sure.
Are you? Oh, gosh. No more spoiler alerts.
No. This is all based on my just watching some snippets this morning at the airport. The reason I say that is they were plugging so hard the skydiving date that he and Rachel does and she face plants.
Okay, literally, Rocco, so she's in, you know, doing tandem jump where you're in front and the instructor's behind and they jump out of a plane. The instructor failed her. She literally landed on her face.
Which could be karmic justice for some of the stuff because, I mean, awkward when she met his family.
Her family, when he met her family.
Yeah, I mean, in 2018, who doesn't know, going to parties and Confederate flags are being showed. And if anybody that's white and black there, what are the rules? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so I thought.
So you do think the beard is the telling thing completely? Okay.
Yes, he picks Rachel, but they realize they're never going to work. Her right. family seemed like they were like horrified.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought I like Michelle a lot.
Yeah, the gal from Minnesota.
And her mom and dad were so cute.
Yeah, listen, he's single.
Based on
that beard.
Yeah, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Affected the ratings.
Oh, the ratings are way in the tanker.
Yeah.
Also think the ratings are in the tanker because
it's the scandal and the apathy have killed the mood.
Yeah,
for The Bachelor.
I'm not in the mood for it.
Yeah, I know.
Because we had so much fun this summer on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, it's just been a disaster for the first Black Bachelor, and it's because of racism. So that is...
ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
So anyway, but... and then I don't know what that Bachelorette, Claire Crawley, I saw the headline, she kissed her ex, and I just kept moving on. Well, next story.
They've been spotted, Laura. That's like me doing it to you. Give me the next story. I'm bored with this
one. But I mean, I was just like, what? Do they need to each both get to a different Instagram threshold level for money?
You're sounding like my son now. This is it. This is why people go on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette anymore. It's all about Instagram followers to become an influencer.
So maybe they both are really close, so they're people that are helping them. Say go and do something. I mean, reality or Hollywood, it's staging is everything, Julia.
Okay. Laurie, I think I'm really with you, but here's something. And I want to ask you, do you feel like this is competition for our show? Because I'm sick of everyone and their mother getting a podcast, okay?
Well, you're going to have to just deal with it because everyone and their mother can have a podcast.
I know.
Viva
la podcast. It used to just be us, and we've been doing it for years. So Brock and Bruce. So Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama,
are
really good friends. They're saying Obama stated that although their backgrounds are completely different, they both share the same values. The two will talk a little bit about everything from their childhood to personal lives, what's going on in the world today.
Are they going to talk about the DWI? That's the number one thing everyone wants to know about.
Well, there's 8 episodes. Well, see, here's the thing. This is like a quick TV show.
That would be a thing to just ask them.
Well, right.
You know, did you feel like your politics, you're very out loud with your politics that...
Oh, it isn't even out yet. So this is just something that we can look forward to coming.
That's the thing we want to... That would be...
Roger Friedman wrote something about how they've sealed the documents on Bruce Springsteen's DWI.
Because there might be something
weird going on. That happened last week.
Yeah, I mean, people can give people breaks, and we all know how all that stuff works. So
we all know,
but you know, you also don't know. Like, you see somebody sitting on a motorcycle taking a swig of tequila, and maybe you don't know who it is, and you can see
how. And I'd be like, "That's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right to have it shot when you're sitting on a motorcycle in a park."
Yeah.
That would scare
me. From far away, maybe you don't have your...
Snowmobile suit.
That's right. by the way, I know you guys were just waiting for a BTS update. Tonight is the night. MTV Unplugged presents BTS.
Oh, it is tonight.
It is tonight at 7 o'clock. And so it's going to be kind of exciting for the BTS.
Are you going to watch it?
I'm going to DVR it.
All right. You're good. Okay, so that's
I'm going to avoid Twitter, but it's BTS basically unplugged. It's an excellent initiation for people who have not appreciated like how hard these...
What day is it today?
Today is the 23rd.
It's a Tuesday. It's only a Tuesday. Doesn't it feel like it's a Thursday? What is that?
Because I've been gone.
What? Really, Lori, when you're gone, every day feels like 7. Actually, we had so much fun with Brittany and Stephanie. It was really fun.
Yeah,
it's just fun to catch up. And Brittany's so funny. And Stephanie, we just laughed and we talked old stories about when we used to schlep ads for the Twin Cities Reader.
Gosh.
We laughed so hard. It was really fun. It was fun catching up with everybody.
Yeah, good.
It was good. Okay, so do we have time to chat about Emily in Paris?
Let's talk about that a little bit later. Okay. Give me the lowdown on Chris Noth. He's not going to be in Sex and the City, is he?
Well, he's
there. Unless they offer him way more money. But I see him and Carrie getting divorced anyway.
Yeah, I know. I always did, too. Mm-hmm. So apparently he's kind of hinted on Instagram after there were reports that he wasn't going to be in the Sex and the City, that he is said everything changes.
Oh, so they're negotiating.
Including announcements in the rags.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because those ladies are making $1 million per episode.
For
10 episodes. Chris Noth could just say, I would like equal pay with the ladies. Right. You're saving money not having Samantha. I'd be negotiating.
100%. And he's in that Queen Latifah.
Oh, the Equalizer. Which is good.
It is. I'm halfway through the third one.
Yeah, it's a good show.
You wait till you catch up on Big Sky.
Oh, Julia, I know nothing. Probably
well, it's taken a completely
packed.
Different turn.
Oh, good.
And now they're kind of introducing Big Sky 2.
Oh,
it's like weird. It? Well, I haven't seen Big Sky 2, okay. But it's different how they're doing it. All right, stay with us.
I'm exhausted. It's only been an hour. Where's my beach chair?
Laura's going to read a book by the time we get back. We'll be right back.